go.
Soda tax.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites,
soda tax
and baby booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special
Jay
the
Game
Show Show and Stuff!
A horse neigh, a horse whinny. Hello, everyone. Have a seat. Thank you so much. It's a rainy, rainy, gross Tuesday,
that's
October
right.
the 10th, 2017, here in Chicago, Illinois.
Boo this rain.
My name is Anderson Laufer, host of the Game Show Show and Stuff, and with me, as always, is the star forward of the United States soccer team, James Anthony Zoccoli Jazz, everybody.
Thank you, Anderson. Thank you, everyone. Please do not use my government name. I need to maintain my plausible deniability of these activities. I can't even say it.
And to my left, joining us as usual, is the president of PNC Bank, Jonathan Moran, everybody.
Folks, I can get you a really good rate on your mortgage.
It's a lie.
Hey everybody, how's it going? Hey everybody, how's it going?
Great mortgage rates.
We just released a whole new set of designs for checkbooks. So just give me a call.
That sounds like something Robin would say. Great mortgage rates, Batman.
It's true.
Well, driving here in the rain is a difficult task.
Mm-hmm. Really difficult.
And it's hard getting here anyway. Mm-hmm. Just because it's late in the day and you don't really want to go anywhere.
No. Home. Straight home. Mm-hmm. Home, James.
But I don't know if you've driven down side streets through Chicago and through Evanston, but they do something where they turn off the streetlights in different blocks of the town to save money, I guess, on power.
Yeah, something.
But they don't fix the fucking streets.
Nope.
Yeah.
So you're driving down the street where there's no lights, and you hit these huge craters in the street, and you feel like you're running over people.
Oh.
Because you couldn't see people if they were walking across the street, because everyone in Chicago is a fucking moron and just wears dark clothes out in the rain at nighttime.
It's true.
So anyway, I'm driving, and I'm like, oh, shit, I hit someone.
Oh, no.
But then I started thinking about myself a little bit, because I didn't stop at all. I just kept going. It's like, what does that say about me? That I wouldn't stop for someone that I hit in the street. And I was like, well, they shouldn't have been in the street.
That's right.
I mean, yeah, pretty
much.
That's
what you would have done,
it's
too.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little social Darwinism on your point, on your behalf.
Yeah, absolutely. They deserve it.
He had it coming.
He sure did.
Wearing dark at nighttime.
I was getting driven here in an Uber, and I was reminded of like how difficult it is to drive because then these fucking people turn on their goddamn brights and it's just like coming down the
right
opposite way. It's like,
and it's always some fuckface in a huge
SUV or something like that,
right? So anybody with a normal, reasonable sized car gets those lights shine right in your rearview mirror.
Blinded. Blinding.
Fuck everyone.
Yeah. Fuck those guys.
Well, what a week. What a week we're having.
What a few weeks. What a world we live in.
Indeed. It just gets more and more bizarre every single day.
And it's not going
to
stop.
It's burning to the ground. Everything is fucked everywhere you go.
Like every social construct is just coming apart at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
what
that's what happens to rebuild. You know, in the Middle Ages, the plague came.
That's right.
And it killed off, 70% of the population?
About that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they were able to restart again and make beautiful art, and everybody was happy.
Yeah, it just took 300, 400 years.
That's right.
But maybe that's what needs to happen now. Maybe 70% of the population needs to go. Not me.
Me neither.
Not me.
But other people need to go and need to just be dead.
Well, it's that social Darwinism thing we were talking about before. It's like a giant car accident for the world.
The world is wearing dark clothing on a rainy night.
That's right.
And Andy is
driving the car.
That's right.
Driving a reasonably sized hatchback.
What a mess.
With a Ghostbusters sticker on the back.
That's right.
And I will be the Pope of the New World.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. People will pass me their babies.
Man. The play Red Noses will come to life.
That's right.
It will become real life.
That'll be the day.
What a world, indeed.
I do feel like today, especially since it's what's his name? Harvey Weinstein?
Weinstein.
Weinstein. That's what they called him behind his back.
Yeah,
old Weinstein.
Over
old
there.
Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein came out as a sexual assaulter.
Oh, man.
And we were talking about this a little bit before the show started, but I really think that anybody in that much power, who no one has said no to for like 40 years, of course you would expect them to act that way.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
that's why Tom Cruise is a Scientologist, because he's like, no one says no to me. I'm a superhero from another planet.
Right.
And this guy is not a superhero, but he's like, I can bang any bitch I want to.
He thinks so. Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Not anymore.
Oh, I think. God. Probably not.
But then the rest of the day, that between that and the Mike Pence thing, leaving the Indiana Colts game, Trump. Going after the other Republicans and all that stuff. It feels like the world is on a fucking witch hunt right now.
Yeah.
Just get anybody.
Well,
and the world is full of witches. Let's face it.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's like Rosemary's Baby. You got to join the coven to get famous. So,
yeah.
Weinstein, whatever you want to call him. He was down with the witches.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I don't want to be down with the witches.
But it's like inherent in humans, right?
I guess.
To do bad shit.
Unfortunately.
When you get in power.
Yeah.
To maintain your power and to just like feel powerful.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That's right.
That's what they say.
Good call.
I didn't say it.
That's why we, all of us, are sitting on chairs made from the bones of dead podcasters.
That's right. We're so so powerful. We are very powerful podcasters. We have, get this, almost 10,000 downloads.
Wow.
Which means my mother downloaded the show 10,000 times.
That's right. Thanks, Mom.
That's pretty good.
She didn't
good.
Listen to shit.
So if you're listening right now, you are among hundreds of other people who listen to this show. It's not just you.
That's right.
So that's something to be proud of and not be embarrassed. So,
no.
So as the women assaultees of Harvey Weinstein come forward and proclaim their rage against this man that abused them,
yeah.
So you should come forward and email us to tell us that you listen to our show.
Yeah.
We have statistics that say you listen to the show.
That's right, we know.
Take a page from the book of Angelina Jolie and tell us. how we have inspired you, yeah. Not abused you.
Yeah, something positive.
Yeah, if you're going to say we assaulted you, don't write us.
That's right. Don't do it.
Oh, man.
Way to put a spin on it, Andy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Make it about us.
Yeah. It's a hell of a spin, bro.
Fantastic.
Well, let's do some Chaka Khan.
Yeah!
Chaka!
I think we definitely need it.
Absolutely. This is the portion of the show where, despite all of the insanity and injustice in the world, you have to tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Please.
Buttholes.
Oh, no, not that.
Nothing better.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so guys, as hard as it might seem, just try to remember, no bitching, no moaning, no whining, no complaining, no politics, no vitriol, no fussing, no fighting. Just no bitching, no moaning, no dumping. None of that stuff. Only good stuff here on Chaka Khan.
Chaka!
Leave it outside.
That's right.
In the rain.
That's right. Leave it outdoors with the nasty weather. Bring us something positive.
Well, I was thinking about this on the way here.
Okay.
Because this past weekend we started filming my TV pilot.
Mm.
And I started thinking that every once in a while, I don't know if it's like a self-image thing or self, you know, the way that I feel about myself or whatever, mm-hmm. but I was thinking while we were doing that, I was thinking about in all the things that I've ever been a part of, like that we've made from scratch, the mm-hmm. game show or this, you know, the podcast or the TV show, any of that stuff. Do you ever feel like when you make stuff and it turns out good that you are maybe a slow kid and the Make-A-Wish Foundation is helping you do things? People feel sorry for you and help you do stuff?
That would be awesome.
Is that how you ever feel?
Well, it's funny. I feel like there have been moments in my life where I felt like everything is conspiring against me. And then I've felt like there's moments where everything is conspiring for me. You mm-hmm. know, and so maybe that's the feeling that you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but I never feel good about it. I think, like, there's no way people should be treating me this well, you know?
Sure.
Which is something to go over with my therapist and not with you, but...
Uh-huh. Yeah, please.
But I remember when we first started the game show and, like, you know, I was just some little cokehead running around with Jazz, you know? And Jazz and I decided to do this, and we got, like, an 8-piece band to agree to do it, and yeah. there was a line around the block for people to come in and yeah. see it and everything, and we were selling out big houses and everything.
Yeah, we were getting good reviews in big magazines.
Yeah, yeah, and doing exposés on our show.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then... I would start thinking, am I a mentally challenged person and everyone is being nice to me?
Oh,
like, you know, when you see people on, like, you know, everybody's, like, all the bears are nice to some sick kid or something,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, am I a fucking sick kid and I can't tell? You know?
I think we're all sick kids at heart, Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I started thinking about that, and then I was like, well, I should just be happy that people are agreeing to do my stuff, if I'm a sick kid or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
So that's pretty good.
The sick and then kids, they know they're sick kids, and they're still fucking elated.
Yeah, and they're yeah. like, fuck you, I'm sick.
Yeah.
You have to do this for me.
Yeah. I deserve it, bitch.
Yeah.
I asked for it. So fucking give it to me.
Yeah.
You have to. So that's how we all need to start living our lives, like sick kids and people have to do things for us.
Okay.
No more asking permission.
Okay.
Just do it.
Just fucking do it.
I'm not sure that's how it works, but okay.
And so anyway, I was
thinking
about...
I'm not sure if I like your logic, but yeah. I like your conclusion.
Okay,
so
yeah, that's right. The most important
right.
thing. But I was thinking about you, Jazz, and how we've worked together for so many years, like way longer than any other pair of comedians or writers have worked together.
I don't know.
Martin and Lewis.
Abbott and Costello.
Abbott and Costello. They were done after 2 years. The Beatles.
Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner. Exactly.
Jerry Seinfeld they're all and Larry
dead.
David.
Yeah, they're all dead.
They're all dead to us.
But the reason that we have stayed together, in my opinion.
Tell me why, because I don't know. Please.
It's because we both have the same level of commitment to something. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like, if he'll do it, I'll do it. Yeah. Okay.
But neither of us are like, this has to get done right now. You know, like, fucking freak out about something.
Right.
Because then the other one would be like, you suck.
Exactly.
And leave, you know?
It's true.
We have exactly the same level of non-interest in things that we do together.
It's true. I think also we're both very good improvisers, and so we're good at throwing shit together at the last fucking minute, which is almost entirely how this show comes together every
much.
Week.
Right. Just like Sick Kids.
Yeah, exactly. Sick kids
like
love
a,
improv.
Like a sick kid's parents at dinner time.
That's right, absolutely.
What should I make tonight? I don't know if Alan will be alive by dinner time. And then he lives, and you're like, well, I threw together some mac and cheese. It's not a whole thing, but it's what we had.
That's right.
And that's how we are.
And kids love that shit.
We're all sick Alans. Anyway.
Wow.
So I just wanted to say thank you for having my same level of disinterest.
Thank you, Anderson. Thank you.
That's my Chaka Khan.
Oh, God. It's funny because it's true. Oh, man. I can't even think of mine. I had one coming in the door, and then it slipped my mind.
Yeah, because he's talking about cancer patient kids.
It's funny because it's true. Oh, Lordy B, Lordy B.
Well, I'll go.
Go ahead, Johnny Murray. What's your Chaka Khan?
Well, you guys know that, and the audience knows, I've been bartending in Wrigleyville for quite a while now, almost
right.
more than 2 years. And we are now in the midst of a playoff run. Hopefully that will be extended.
Woo-hoo.
And because of that, my job is much busier now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very thankful for the crew that I work with. I usually work NFL Sundays there because we're a big Packer bar.
Oh.
And
sucks.
Does suck.
Well, it's really ironic because there'll be times when all three of us, because I work with Bree, who was on the show
mm-hmm.
previously, and Sean, who is also the GM. And the three of us, when we work together, just generally have the best fucking time together. The game will be over. And we will be hanging out post-game with whoever straggles, the stragglers or whatever.
Sure.
And we'll generally start to do shots, and then we'll start to get really fucking goofy and turn up the music. And this past Sunday, we started doing parkour behind the bar.
Get out of here.
We did coordinated parkour. So we'd be like, one, two, three, and we all struck a parkour. Parkour! Pours.
Oh, my God.
And it was fucking hilarious, and I love having moments like that because I feel like, you know, it's a special thing to find that kind of humor and that kind of fun with people in any
yeah,
kind of job,
especially that you work with. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Absolutely.
So they make me feel special, and they make me feel like necessary. It's not, and that's another part of this quality of this job I did not expect to get.
Huh.
And I hadn't felt that in a long, long time before I even started working there. So. I'm very thankful for that as well.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's gonna be sad when they close this, and it's gonna close very, very soon.
What's the name of the place?
Beer on Clark.
That's there right. you go. So go over and check out Beer on Clark before it closes.
Do it. When do they close? Are they closing at the end of this year?
It's looking like probably December.
Oh man, that's
so. Go there for Christmas.
Yeah, there you go. There. We're gonna have a big. We'll most likely know the actual date, and then we'll have a big blowout the night before. So just follow me on the Instagram, and I'll show you. I'll let you know what's happening at Johnny Mo Digital.
Johnny Mo Digital on Instagram. Get on his IG, y'all.
JMD.
JMD IG ASAP.
That's my Chaka Khan.
All right, and I'm gonna keep it super simple, guys. One of the highlights of the week. I mean, we did a lot of work in the shop this weekend. I got sick as a dog getting stuck in the rain directing the big truck we were driving, and probably from all the dust from all these items that we've absconded with from these defaulted moving crates. And
absconded!
Yeah!
It's a kind of snake.
Yeah, that's right.
An absconder.
Oh, no. Please, let's not talk about snakes until it's time for the news, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I I had gone 4 weeks without winning in my fantasy football league, and this week I finally won a game.
Oh, hey. There you go.
Yeah. Nice.
Who was the big player? Who brought it home for you?
Let's see. I think Jameis Winston had an excellent game for me against the Pats. And actually, I think the guy I was playing against had Brady, and he outshone
Brady. Out-Brady'd Brady.
Yeah, he out-Brady'd Brady. And since we're talking about, the simple pleasures and sports and, being like sick kids, I figured that something small and insignificant like a fantasy football victory could be my Shaka Khan for this week. And
there
that's it. And so, once again, as always, gentlemen, thank you for telling me something good. Tell me.
All right, Jazz, it's time to do the GNews.
Time now for Anderson Lawther Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Yes, America's favorite part of the game show and stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. It's Anderson Lawther Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
It's an exciting day for news, Jazz.
Is it? Why?
Well, for our segment, it's a very terrible day for actual worldly news.
Yeah, yeah. Every day these days.
But I was sitting around this morning. I started taking bulletproof coffee. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's where you take... bulletproof coffee. It's a brand of coffee.
Okay.
And you can't get mold on the beans or something. That's their big thing. There's no mold on the beans. Ooh. So it goes through like a special washing process.
Okay.
Which means it's like $19 a pound for this coffee.
Wow.
It's incredibly stupid and expensive. Mm-hmm. But then you take that and then you take some grass-fed butter called ghee.
Okay.
And you take one tablespoon of ghee.
You are bougie as hell right now.
And you put
that,
it into the coffee. And then you take some MCT oil, which is like really condensed coconut oil.
Okay.
It's supposed to give you brain power. And then you put it in a blender, and it turns like this like buttery white.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then you drink it for breakfast.
Wow.
And you're supposed to not have anything else for breakfast because you just had like a tablespoon of butter and a bunch of coconut oil and coffee. So the idea is you have that, and then you're not hungry the rest of the day.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
But, spoiler alert, you're hungry immediately afterwards.
Oh, that's terrible.
All you did was have a lot of butter and no substance, you know?
Uh-huh. I use ghee. I know about ghee, but I'd never known about its applications to coffee.
Yeah. It's called bulletproof coffee.
Maybe. Wow. You should blend in a piece of toast with that.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, I have it. And then I'm like, I wish I had like 5 eggs.
It's not all that bulletproof at all,
yeah,
is it?
Not bulletproof. Except for my gut will stop a bullet before it gets to the rest of my organs.
Oh, my gosh.
So you're not going to do that again?
Oh, no. I'm going to continue doing it.
All right.
Till it works.
Is the goal to lose weight, or is it just because
it's to lose weight, and it's also to increase your brain function because the MCT oil is supposed to get things moving in your blood, lube up your blood or something. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Okay. Anyway, I'm just trying it.
Okay, good luck with
that. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm sitting around, and the MCT oil went straight to my brain, and I got this new idea.
All right.
Instead of just focusing on animal news, why don't we try to learn a little bit about the rest of the world?
Oh!
Which, if you pay any attention to CNN or ABC, NBC, Fox News, any of it, all they talk about is American news.
That's
and
true.
Rightfully so. There's enough news for everybody.
True.
For 24 hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
But nobody's telling you news about other countries.
Mm-mm.
And just news about other countries.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd start a segment called News of the World.
I can't wait to hear it.
And so today's news comes to us from Kyrgyzstan.
Wow.
Do you know where Kyrgyzstan is?
It's, I believe, one of the former bloc countries of Soviet Union.
That's right. And it's way far east.
Okay.
So it's over by Mongolia.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So everybody there is Russian, but they look Chinese.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
And they have a Polish name, Kyrgyzstan.
That's right.
Lots of C's and Y's that don't make any incidents.
Cyrillic, Arabic.
And I know we're saying it wrong, because if you were Chinese and you live right next to Kyrgyzstan, you would not say, you couldn't say Kyrgyzstan.
Probably not.
You'd have a whole bunch of other shit going on. Anyway, so I was looking through the Kyrgyzstan newspapers this morning.
Okay.
And I came across a story that I thought was so interesting, I had to share it with you.
All right.
Just when I was about to give up hope on Kyrgyzstan altogether.
Okay.
And here it is. I'm just going to read it to you. The British miner who compared Kyrgyzstan's national dish to a horse's penis was told he could have sparked a war between the United Kingdom and the former Soviet Republic.
Wow.
That's the headline.
That's intense.
Michael McFeet was warned by police he risked an international incident after he compared the chuckuck sausage, a hugely popular local delicacy, to a horse's dick.
Oh, no.
Speaking for the first time since his arrest and release, Mr. McFeet also revealed a hate mob tried to kill him by running him off the road as he was forced to flee for his life.
Oh, my gosh.
The 39-year-old British gold miner from Abernathy, Perthshire, had to be smuggled out of the Kumtor mine where he'd been working on in the back of an ambulance after enraging fellow workers with his Facebook comment.
Whoa.
He was initially arrested under the country's race hate laws and could have faced up to 5 years in prison.
Dang.
Instead, he was deported after making a public apology. He told how he arrived at the airport in the capital of Bishkek. He was confronted with giant wanted posters featuring a photo of him lifted from social media.
Wow.
The welding superintendent was arrested by armed police as he approached passport control, handcuffed and taken to a police station. He said, "The police told me that told me my act could send Kyrgyzstan to war with the United Kingdom."
Okay.
He caused outrage by posting a picture online from the mine's canteen saying, "The Kyrgyz people queuing out of the door for their special delicacy, the horse's penis."
Oh.
While the post was widely thought to be a joke, Mr. McFeet insisted he genuinely thought that what the delicacy was, rather than sausage stuffed with horse meat and spices, was a horse's penis.
Oh.
I was told from my first time here last March that it was a horse's penis. All the expats believed it and probably still do. His coworkers called a strike at the mine and demanded he be arrested.
Damn.
Oh.
I was told my post had caused an uprising and there was a lynch mob of hundreds coming to get me, so they needed me off the site for my own safety.
Wow.
He was smuggled out in an ambulance before being transferred to a jeep with two security guards. But on the way to Bishkek, they were ambushed by two carloads of locals who tried to run them off the road. They were ramming us, trying to kill us. We stopped and five of them came out with something in their hands. I wasn't sure if they were guns or knives or clubs, so
Yeah,
there were a big bunch of horse dicks in their hands. So I hid in the boot of the car. The driver put the jeep in reverse and fled away. They ended up chasing us all over the town. Fearing that they too would be killed, the security guards threw Michael out of the jeep in an industrial factory yard.
Oh, my God.
They said, "Someone will come for you." It was pitch black, and I could hear cars screeching around looking for me. I didn't know if I was being rescued or if I'd been left to die. I thought, I'm not going to get out of this. I lay flat against the wall using my rucksack to hide my face. Every time my car came, I just hoped no one would see me. After about 45 minutes, Mr. McFeet got a text from the mine asking where he was. It said more security had been sent to rescue him. I had to sneak along the road to find them, and by luck I did. Now safely back home with wife Amanda and two children, Abby 8 and Logan 5, he said, "I'm just relieved to be back in one piece." But he is now banned from entering Kyrgyzstan for 5 years.
Wow.
Because of one Facebook post,
man,
saying the national delicacy is horse's penis.
Holy Moses, I'm just surprised that Kyrgyzstan has Facebook.
Here's the other thing, too. I live in America.
Yeah.
Where that kind of shit usually doesn't happen.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not friends with anybody I work with on Facebook. How the fuck does a British expat connect with Kyrgyzstani fucking miners?
Yeah, like, you know what I want to do?
In the mountains.
Gold slave in a gold mine in Kyrgyzstan.
All of a sudden, all these guys who are fucking, who spend a mile or who go a mile deep into the earth are all fixated on fucking Facebook.
Yeah, he's like, buy wife and children in England in my house.
Right.
I'm going to go work in a mine in Kyrgyzstan with a bunch of fucking Kyrgyzstani people.
Wow. That's Which wild. I guess now we have to watch ourselves and how we refer to the Kyrgyzstani people.
But dude,
apparently
I'm telling
they're going to come after us.
If I put, if Jazz and me and Johnny went out for dinner and somebody brought out a huge sausage and I was like, looks like a horse's cock, I would be applauded on social media. It would have 500 likes in a minute. Certainly wouldn't be run off the road.
That's right. You're so brave for eating that horse's cock.
Yeah, people would be patting us on the back as we left, like, nice post, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
And one story that was underneath this in the newspaper. The International Festival of Pilaf, Friendship of the Peoples of Asia, Pilaf competition, will be opened in Osh.
All right.
Kyrgyzstan. The culinary competition will be attended by the best chefs from Russia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Kyrgyzstan. All guests of the festival are waiting pleasant surprises from the organizers, as well as a unique opportunity to taste the pilaf prepared by the best chefs of Central Asia and Russia. The winner of the festival will receive a prize, a trip to the United Arab Emirates.
Hey!
Everything sucks about this! This festival blows on every level!
Fly Emirates. Well,
want to leave this shitty country to go on vacation
to another shitty country
for making some shitty food?
Hey, the UAE is a pretty opulent nation, I believe.
Yeah, that's true, but still, that's also
and
where
it's very different from fucking Kyrgyzstan.
True. Sure. That's also where they get all their ISIS people.
Oh no.
It's just the ISIS on the cake.
Boo, indeed.
Spider bites!
Not again!
An Alabama fire department is fighting a different kind of battle.
Uh-huh.
After two firefighters were bitten by poisonous spider.
Oh, no.
No.
Captain Frank McKenzie of Huntsville Fire and Rescue said that two firefighters working at the department's Station 17 have been bitten by brown recluse spiders.
Oh, boy, those are dangerous.
He said that the station was infested with spiders. Brown recluse spiders.
Holy shit, dude.
Oh, no.
The agency has moved fire crews, their equipment, and personal items to another station, and the station was sprayed for pests. McKenzie says firefighters plan to resume working at Station 17 today.
Oh, man. Scary.
I would say spiders are very little. And you're just gassing, like, willy-nilly all over the station.
Uh-huh.
So, undoubtedly, there are going to be leftover poisonous spiders.
There could be.
It's probably going to be eggs.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Ooh.
I would not move in.
Yeah.
I'd say, fuck this job.
I don't need it. I don't want it.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says brown recluse spiders typically stay hidden in sheltered areas. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's when you like just spray fucking gas everywhere. Yeah. They stay hidden. They don't get the gas.
Maybe not.
The venom from these brown recluse spider bites kills tissue, causing large lesions that often require medical treatment.
Oh, God.
Spiders. Those guys should just give up and become cops in Florida.
There you go.
Yeah, be Why happier. At least you know what you're getting with somebody on bat salt, you know?
You
know all the symptoms.
People with diabetes who eat other people.
You're not dealing with fucking spiders that you can't even talk to.
Right.
They don't even speak English.
Not even close.
Nope. Sad but true.
Well, I got some spaceman news for you, Jazz, and it's out of Wyoming, but it might as well be out of Florida. A Wyoming man accused of public intoxication allegedly told police he traveled from the year 2048 to warn mankind of an impending invasion by extraterrestrials.
Thank God he did.
Bryant Johnson issued his grave warning to Casper police Monday night after officers were called about the man and his out-of-this-world message, according to an arrest report. Johnson, who police said smelled of alcohol, spoke with slightly slurred speech.
Oh, no.
If you can believe it.
No, not hardly.
Allegedly told officers that the aliens were coming next year and we needed to make sure to leave as fast as possible.
Okay.
To where?
I don't know. We got to talk to Tom Cruise, though.
Yeah.
Get on that spaceship. Knows. He knows what's up.
Tom Cruise, can we live on one of your planets? No. According to the report, he didn't specify an exact date or time for the aliens' arrival.
Damn.
He refused to speak with nurses or doctors and instead insisted on meeting with the president of the town.
I need the town president.
I need to speak.
And all of his resources.
Yes, we have a mayor. No! President!
He's the only one with the authority.
Oh, my gosh.
He informed the officers that he was able to travel through time because the aliens filled his body with alcohol.
Yeah. There's the aliens in Wrigleyville that I work with all the time. The exact same thing.
Same thing. Aliens filled their body with Zimas.
Specifically manufactured for extraterrestrial
travel. He claimed he stood on a giant pad, which then transported him to the year 2017. Though he said he was supposed to be sent to the year 2018.
Oh no.
Now, there's a couple things with this story that I think are interesting. The first thing is, what if he's right? And we're all fucked.
Wow. Well, we're already all fucked.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Yeah, but fucked is a... There's different levels of fuckedness.
True.
Right?
Yeah, it's all relative.
Yes. It's all relative. It can always get worse.
True.
We haven't hit rock bottom yet.
Not yet.
Every time we think we've hit rock bottom... Just like my life.
That's right.
You can always go way lower.
That's right. And hopefully you bounce back.
Yeah, that's all you can do. You have to be optimistic.
That's right.
It gets harder and harder to be optimistic.
Mm, yes,
that's why this Wyoming guy is saying I'm from 30 years in the future. Maybe he's got something going on.
Who knows?
Even though, if you look at his mugshot, he looks like he's from the year 1998.
I believe it.
In Terminator, they brought John, where they sent... What's his name?
Eddie Furlong. This guy was Bryant Johnson. Looks just like Eddie Furlong does now.
Wow, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Almost dead.
From what I've seen, that's not good.
But they sent him 30 years back into the past in order to let Eddie Furlong know that he was the apocalypse was nigh.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he does get something.
And then to get Linda Hamilton and all that. Remember how fucking awesome she was?
Yeah, she was.
Johnson was allegedly found with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.136.
That's Edward Furlong levels right there for
That's
sure.
Furlong. He got furlonged.
He sure did. Holy Jesus.
Yeah, he's fucking hammered.
He was transported then to the... detention center.
Yeah,
a giant pad with wheels.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, man. Good one.
In a special spacesuit that resembles a straitjacket.
Yeah. And a Bart Simpson t-shirt. And jean shorts.
And on the back, it's got a sign. I'm with stupid.
Yeah. And then just an arrow pointing to himself.
Oh, my God.
Snake out.
Scary.
I didn't believe this. I looked it up, and it was on the news this morning. So this is national news.
Okay.
I'm not telling tales out of school here with this one.
Okay.
In Jefferson County, Colorado, Golden, Colorado, if you're familiar with Golden, Colorado, a hiker who was taken to a hospital with life-threatening injuries after he was bitten by a rattlesnake early Saturday while he was hiking... A rattlesnake just in the hiking path died.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the guy died?
Yeah.
That sucks.
They said they received the report of a snake bite around 12:40 p.m. And the hiker, a man in his early 30s, was about a mile into the trail in Golden, Colorado.
Wow.
He was taken to St. Anthony's Hospital and was listed with life-threatening injuries at 12:40. And he was pronounced dead by 5 p.m.
Whew.
Wow.
Wow.
He said the hiker was with other people just hiking on the trail when the report was called in.
Wow. Don't fuck with them snakes,
I'm saying.
Man. Don't fuck with them snakes.
Yeah.
Don't go places where there are snakes, even.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Like, are there snakes in Chicago? There aren't.
Are there snakes
in the grass?
There this big?
Yeah, there's garden snakes.
There are, for real?
Yeah.
You seen them?
Yeah.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
Are they in the city, though?
I bet they are.
Have you ever seen one walking
I've
around?
Never seen one in the city. I've seen one in the suburbs, but it's scary because, yeah, they could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Even gardener.
Gardener snakes?
Yeah, Brett Gardner.
Brett Gardner snakes? Trent Reznor snakes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it gardener snake or garden snake or garter snake?
It's garden
garter.
Snake.
No, it's garter snake.
Oh. Garter.
Yes. Well, although it says here, look, now it's funny. It says garter snake, garden snake, gardener snake, and ribbon snake are some of the common names for nearly harmless small to medium-sized snakes belonging to the genus Thamnophis.
Well, they aren't harmless to everything. Mm. Nothing is harmless to everything.
Well, I mean, they can bite you, but they can't poison you. That's the difference. So they
yeah,
can...
but it could still eat your flesh.
Uh-huh.
It still eats meat.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could do damage to you, but it couldn't kill you. That's what they mean by harmless.
Unless you were laying down on the beach and it just like and you like fell asleep. You took Valium or
right.
something, and then you were just laying there, and like 1,000 of them came up and ate your
oh
body.
Why the
gosh.
Fuck would you take Valium and then lie on the beach?
What do you do on the beach?
I lie on the beach.
Yeah, me too.
With Valium.
Yeah.
1,000 garden snakes.
Come on.
Garden
see what
snakes.
Happens. Let's see what happens.
Oh my
so just
gosh.
Something else to worry about, gang.
Thank you.
All right, Jazz, shoot the moon.
If you say so.
The most interesting story by far of the month so
okay.
far. I saved it for the end just because it was so exciting.
Wow.
On a cloudy day in 2015, British Army Sergeant Emil Killiers offered to take his wife skydiving as a treat.
Uh-huh.
It turned out to be anything but.
Oh, no.
Victoria Killiers, who previously taken part in, get this, 2,600 skydives. His wife.
Holy shit.
What's 2,600 divided by 365?
I'm not good at math.
Say 8?
I mean, give me a second and I'll get a calculator.
8 or 9?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Is that, you think? So it's how many thousand?
2,600.
2,600 divided by 365 is 7.1.
Okay, so 7. So that means, right away, Victoria Sillier's has gone skydiving every day for 7 years.
Right. Basically.
That's too many skydives for yeah. one person. You're already pressing your luck.
For sure.
That's the only point I have to make about that so far.
I've gone twice, and I feel fucking blessed to be alive.
Oh, you have been twice?
Yeah, yeah.
Never been.
Me either. I'm dying to go, though.
It's yeah. awesome.
I'm dying to go. Victoria Sillier's was helpless when both her main and reserve parachutes failed,
oh.
sending her plummeting 4,000 feet to the ground.
Oh.
Never before in England has there ever been a double parachute failure, and those who first reached her expected to find her body exploded.
Oh.
So too did her husband, according to prosecutors.
Okay.
But she survived.
Get the fuck out of here.
She fell 4,000 feet and lived?
Wow.
Yes. Speaking at Sillier's attempted murder trial this week.
What?
Prosecutors described how Sillier's allegedly removed half of the clips, the husband, connecting his wife's harness to the parachutes in an effort to rid her from his life.
Oh, no.
He cut both of her parachutes.
What the fuck?
Off of her bag. She fell 4,000 feet to the ground and lived.
Wow.
Amazing.
What kind of life could that be?
Yeah.
How many injuries did she sustain?
Having promised to start a new life with a woman he'd met on Tinder,
Sillier's
didn't initially plan for the botched skydive, which Victoria survived with a broken pelvis, ribs, and vertebrae only.
That's it?
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
They argue Silliers, who was nearly $30,000 in debt and allegedly believed he would receive a life insurance payout of almost $160,000 after his wife's death, tampered with a gas pipe in the couple's kitchen a week before the skydive in the hope that it would cause an explosion.
Oh, my God.
Are you trying to kill me? His wife asked him. Discovering the leak, Silliers later texted her that day, "You want to go skydive this weekend?"
Oh, my gosh.
This guy is the worst criminal or has the worst luck of any person in the
world.
He's
been charged with 2 counts of attempted murder.
Wow. That is wild, dude.
Jesus Christ.
So he cut, man.
Pelvis, ribs, and vertebrae, and that's it?
Yeah.
Like, not even her extremities? I mean, she must have had... I would love to read more about this story to find out if she had some sort of evasive training, you know, like from all that experience, like maybe she had maneuvers.
But here's the thing. You can't stop yourself from going fast.
No.
No.
Not at all.
Well, actually, yes, you can.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're free falling, you are in a position with your arms extended and your hands upward, like, you know,
like surface area is what you're talking about.
Yeah. So you're catching air kind of like a flying squirrel almost, right?
Yeah.
And then when you want to, you know, do other maneuvers, you put your arms down to your side and you point yourself. You point your toes and you can really make yourself into a projectile or make yourself wind resistant, you know, based on just positions of your body.
But once you get below, say, 30 stories... of a, say, the size of a building, right?
Sure.
30 stories. That, I mean, you got to think that after you reach that point, there's no helping you, like, how fast you're going.
Well,
like, it's all relative, but it's still, it's too fucking fast.
But even when you're coming in, when you're coming in on a parachute, even when you have a parachute, you're moving so fast that you could injure yourself anyway. And one of the things that you do is you kind of invert yourself, like, you know, almost like you're, like, leaning back in a swing, you know? And you point your toes, or actually, I'm sorry, no, you point your toes up so that your heels are forward, and you try to, like, slide into the earth, basically, like a baseball slide, almost.
So she must have known to
do
that.
So I'm guessing she must have, like, you know, maneuvered herself for as long as she could, flipped herself over, and tried to slide in. That's probably why
so
it was
trying
pelvis.
To come in, like, from a total, like, a 45-degree angle instead of, like, just
So you're not just coming straight down. You're going at an angle, and then that way, so she probably hit her ass first, broke her pelvis, then broke her back and her ribs on the rest of the impact, and then her extremities were safe, and her head was obviously, you know, she must have curled up.
You would think when you hit your ass that it would go right into your brain.
Well, pretty much, but again, if you're coming,
you know what I'm saying?
If you're coming at a good enough angle, I guess you could maneuver that
she
shit,
probably
dude.
Bounced a whole bunch of times, and that's probably what caused all this other stuff.
She slid right in there.
She might have done something
Carl
where she could have...
Trimsky.
She might have done something where she was able to protect her head by, like, maybe putting her arms over her head and then kind of tucking and rolling as she went, maybe.
Sure. Wow.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable. What a doofus.
Yeah.
that guy's fucking moron.
Oh. Man, you need to think of something new.
Yeah.
Also, just leave your wife.
Yeah, just leave the bitch. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to kill people to change your life, man.
But any woman that survives a fucking fall like that, you know she's unbearable.
Like, how do I get rid of her?
I tried so many times to kill this bitch. Oh, my God. Unbelievable, dude. Well, more power to her.
Yeah, man.
I don't think she needs any more power.
Anyway, I'm telling you, that's the story of the year, man.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
That is craziness, man.
So, all right, well, that's the news.
This has been Anderson Laufer Presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Yes, America and Kyrgyzstan, you heard it here first. It's your favorite segment of the game show and stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Anderson Laufer presents Something About Things in the News and Stuff.
Well, we have Johnny join us today for some birthdays. What do you think?
I'm always happy when Johnny joins us on the birthdays.
All
so
right.
Is
then
it
let's
time for
do some birthdays?
January 21st.
And
to Today is October 10th, 2017, which means it's a great day to be
a genius playwright,
a genius filmmaker,
a genius musician,
or D, all of the above.
Happy birthday, Harold Pinter.
Birthday party, homecoming, betrayal. You wrote and acted in your own stuff on radio, stage, and screen.
Your early works were described as comedy of menace, and your later works were called memory plays.
You won over 50 awards, honors, including the Nobel Peace Prize, for literature. Don't pause on Pinter, bro.
No, don't pause on him. And what's up, Ed Wood?
The king of low-budget sci-fi, horror, and sexploitation films. You won the Golden Turkey Award and were named the worst director of all time. That's one hell of a distinction. We're stinking at your art.
Plan 9 from Outer Space, Glenn or Glinda, Jailbait, Necromania. Those movies blow.
Yeah, they do. Your motto on set and in life was cut, perfect, printed, and now there's a church with your name on it. Can you believe it? They started a church.
Woo! Happy birthday to you, good sir, Thelonious Monk.
Round midnight, straight no chaser, in walked Bud. Only Duke Ellington has more records than you.
Your particular style in music is only surpassed by your particular style in suits, hats, and sunglasses.
Later in life, you suffered from mental illnesses that went unexplained because, well, you needn't.
You went crazy! And let's not forget,
First Lady of American Theater, Helen Hayes.
Photographer and conservationist Julius Shulman.
Race car driver Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dick pic sender Brett Favre.
Slater from Saved by the Bell, Mario Lopez.
Raquel from Pulp Fiction, Julia Sweeney.
And also born today,
Webster's Uncle Philip, Ben Vereen.
Nice Guy Eddie, Chris Penn.
Actors named after animals, Peter Coyote and Rebecca Pigeon.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On guitar, John Pry.
On bass, Louis Gottlieb of the Limelighters.
On drums, Mike Melanin of Goo Goo Dolls.
We keep forgetting the order.
That's right.
On keys, Eddie Volker of the Radiators.
With country crooning by Tanya Tucker.
Glam rock vocals by David Lee Roth, DLR.
Italian compositions by Giuseppe Verdi.
And turntable wizardry by DJ Scribble.
Singing, songwriting, playwriting, poetry, and civil rights activism by Chicago's own Oscar Brown.
Oscar Brown, baby.
And if you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line and stuff at radiomisfits.com.
Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for info.
You know, guys, there are roughly 7 billion people in the world these days, I think, right? And with 365 days in the year, I think that means there are approximately 19,178,000 birthdays being celebrated every single goddamn day, and we just celebrated a handful of them right here on the Game Show Show and Stuff.
Sounds great. Hey, don't forget to buy some headphones from Tweaked Audio.
That's right.
Tweaked Audio headphones on sale at Tweaked Audio.
That's right.
They come in all different colors. People should email us more.
Yeah, they really
should. You know what, Jazz?
Yeah.
I want to say something. Here we are in this huge warehouse of prizes, and no one has sent us an email.
I know.
Here's what I say. The first person to send us an email will get a prize.
I like it.
To send us a line and stuff at radiomisfits.com.
I like that.
There
challenge.
Are hundreds of people that listen to this show. We have proof.
We do.
We have actual statistics.
Yeah.
That say hundreds, if not thousands of people listen to this show. And... we still get no emails.
That's right.
But now it's going to change.
It's going to change.
Coming up after the break, we have Nicole Thurman.
Yeah.
From the opposition with Jordan Klepper. Or the opposition with Nicole Thurman,
yeah.
I like to call it.
Indeed.
And we'll get to that right after this.
The Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network is brought to you by Tweaked Audio. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak. Tweaked Audio has earbuds in several styles and colors with flat cable and inline mic. Plus, they offer a classic metal or stylish wood design. And waterproof sports buds with silicone caps that hold them in place no matter what your activity. Not only that, Tweaked Audio also offers an over-the-head option with removable cable and inline one-button microphone for travel, stereo, or studio use. Go to tweakedaudio.com to order yours now and use the code GAMESHOW for 33% off and free worldwide shipping. Tweakedaudio.com. Tweaked Audio. Sounds so good, you'll tweak.
I mean, word.
Eat shit, Johnny.
Anyway. Please leave.
You got it.
Yeah, bro. All right, so we're gonna come out of a break, and Jazz is going to introduce you,
yep.
And then we'll just start. We'll talk for maybe 10 minutes, and then we have a game called Trick or Tweet that we'll play. That I'll host, and then you, Johnny, and Jazz will all play against each other. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, sounds good. What's the game called?
Trick or Tweet.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the game show, showing stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Oh, thank you so much, Jazz. Today we are joined by the new star, the leading star,
yes,
of a new Comedy Central show called The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. It's Nicole Thurman, everybody.
Yay! Yay!
Nicole, why did you decide to name your show The Opposition with Jordan Klepper?
The Opposition with Jordan Klepper. Well, first of all, the Jordan Klepper part was easy because that's Jordan Klepper. He's the host.
Oh, okay.
Former Chicagoan, very cool dude. He did a lot of IO stuff. He's the nicest guy ever and very smart. It's called The Opposition just because it's like kind of a buzzword that's been going around as like the, you know, as the political climate has been heating up and getting insane. The opposition is kind of rising up to fight against typically, I would say it's probably fighting against the liberals and the left, but we're playing it from the other perspective where we're coming at it from like, we're all playing conservative characters on the right and we're the opposition trying to get the truth out there, get the conspiracies figured out and tell the people what they really need to know.
Absolutely.
From the other side of the spectrum.
Do yeah. you believe in, so as your character, do you believe in lizard people?
In lizard people? Mm-hmm. I think my character is like a little bit of a different character because she believes in anything that satisfies her. Like, she's very selfish. She's very self-involved. And, like, she just likes to party. She likes all the cool shit. She likes, like, seeing things, like, from her viewpoint. So if, like, the lizard people could, like, buy her dinner and, like, take her out for a night in the town, she'd be like, hell yeah, lizard people are my people.
Yeah, I love these lizard yeah. people. You know who the yeah, leader of the yeah. you know who the leader of the lizard people is? We came to the bottom of this
That's
last
right.
year, but it's Dave Coulier.
That's right.
Dave Coulier. Oh my god.
Full
yes.
house.
And Dave Coulier has like some celebrity cred. He's got like a little following. So I think my character would definitely be into it, especially if she could hang out with, you know, Dave Coulier at like some VIP table, wherever he would be VIP these days.
Right.
I don't know.
With Stamos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Stamos. I mean,
he's hot
Stamos
as fuck.
Is just hot, so, yeah, anywhere Stamos is going to be, my character is going to be chilling with that. So, yeah.
So you left Chicago. We all did a play together
right.
a few years
yes,
ago.
Yes, we did.
And then you left yeah. and you went to New York. No, you went to L.A.
I went to L.A., yes.
And then you came back or you stayed in L.A.?
So I was in Chicago for 8 years. One of those years I left and went to New York for funsies. And then I was like, what the hell am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing. So then I came back to Chicago and then moved to L.A. It would be 2 years ago in November, this
mm-hmm.
November.
Yeah.
And so I've been here. I had been here for almost 2 years. And then I got this job. So then I'm in New York, I guess.
So how did you get this job? What did you do? How did you audition?
So the way it's actually the Daily Show does a similar audition. So it's something I was kind of familiar with. I had auditioned for the Daily Show in the past and like never got it, obviously. but it's like they make you do two pieces. So you do a self-tape and the first piece that you do is one that you write. So you write like a 4-minute like chat is what they call it. And so you just write this chat where you're talking with the host of the show and you're showing them like your perspective and your point of view as the character. And then the other thing is they send you a script. And so then you also read that script on tape, which is something that their writers wrote. So
now you have
a
background in improv though. So probably the chat was a little easier, would you say?
The chat was, you know, it's like funny because the chat was easier for me for this show than it was when I have ever auditioned for The Daily Show. And it's funny because I almost didn't do this audition because, you know, not to sound like a total jerk, but I had auditioned for The Daily Show a few times and I was just like, I don't know how to write political satire. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this.
Right,
but,
yeah. It's so easy to get
disheartened.
This show,
Yeah, something about this show was like, because it was coming from a character's perspective and like I wasn't playing myself, and because we're obviously totally all out to lunch and we're all playing these conservative like conspiracy theorists, like something about that, I was like, well, I can come at it from this like wacky point of view. And so, yeah, it was easier for me to create a character that's like a heightened version of myself and just like write something kind of like a little bit off the wall. So, yeah, it was like, it came easier to me for sure. And the improv definitely played into it.
So when you arrive at the show, do you immediately start working with Jordan Kleppert, or they put you with the other guys? Do you sit in a writer's room, or are you responsible for your own shit? Or do you have like a team?
Well, it's kind of a mix. Yeah, like for... So when I tested for the show, I went to New York and they flew me there and I read with Jordan for the test. And so it was like the same format where I had written one piece and then the other piece was the one that they had written and they wanted me to read it. And I read it with Jordan. And then I went back to LA and I was like, you know, having full blown crazy anxiety, like, oh my God, I think I got it, but I don't know if I got it. So then once I found out I got it, I had 3 days to move there. And that was insane. So I just like packed up all my clothes and moved up there. But yeah, when we're working on the show, like the way we do it is we have a meeting in the morning with all the writers, the correspondents, and Jordan, and the producers. So it's like a huge team that works on everything. And we kind of go through the news stories of the day, do pitches as like, these are the stories we want to talk about. This is our take on the story. This is how we're going to tell it as the opposition, as Jordan Kleppert, who's also playing a character. And so then we'll go and we work on our own kind of the whole day. But if we're doing a chat that day, like something that's going to be on the show, we work with writers the whole day. Like it'll be like me and two writers writing something. And then you kind of like go into rewrites during the day. And you go into Jordan's office and he tells you like kind of what he wants you to change about it. And all the producers and the head writers are there too. And then... you're kind of, it's like a team effort, which is also very cool because everybody on this show, what's different about it from The Daily Show, everybody on this show has an improv background. So we all have that like sense of collaboration and standing and like teamwork. And it's really just like all I do when I'm writing with the writers is like, I just riff and then just like write it down.
Is that better working with other improv people? Because I know if I go to a party with all improv people, I want to murder myself.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's absolutely. I mean, I feel the exact same way. I'm like, can y'all just turn the volume down?
Yeah.
Like, cannot just for the love of God.
Can you talk about something actually real for a second, improv people?
Yeah, like quit doing this, you dumbass. No, but I think I love writing with improvisers because that's how I kind of like when I started writing, it wasn't that long ago. And I started at Second City where that's what we would do is pitch ideas and then kind of improvise off of that idea and then come up with a script. So it's been really cool for me because like that's like I'm saying the way I write is by riffing. And so I'll just like say like bits that I think are funny or lines that I think are funny. And then the writers will like make it like better.
Damn, you're like the queen. You're like the Pope.
Yeah.
You just have to write it. Write this down.
I just like sprinkle my talent upon the writers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, writers.
That's awesome.
Oh, writers. I have an idea. Yes. Satire.
Grovel at my feet.
It's really cool that way. It's just easier for me to write that way. Like, just like being like, this is funny. This is my character. And like, also, it's like, I know the character because I created the character. So it's like, I know what I want to say and how I want to say it, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
It's been super fun. But, yeah, it's definitely, like, working with them, it's a very chill. It's definitely, like, an office job during the day, and you're, like, a writer during the day, and then you're an actor at night when you get to do the show.
Do you do every show?
No, definitely not. I do, it's just kind of, like, there's 6 correspondents, and so depending on the topics of the day or what they want to cover, they'll use different correspondents for different days. And so I will hopefully get to do a lot more when I come back. We're on a dark week right now, so that's why I'm in LA. But when we come back, we're going to, you know, we just kind of rotate in and out. And we also get to do field pieces. So we also get to travel and, like, meet people. Like, they want to send me to a Trump rally, and I'm terrified.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Get some of that, what do they call that, bear mace.
Yeah.
You know, the bear spray?
What's that?
It's like for bears. If you're in the woods, and you spray it in a bear's face.
Just be careful.
And be like, it's my God-given right to carry around this bear mace.
Yeah, and they'll be like, hell yeah, it is. They'll be into it. So
yeah,
they'll
yeah.
be sprayed in the face with that. Yeah, definitely. hold on one second. How do I...
What happened? Oh, well, there she goes.
Nicole Thurman, everybody.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
She told us to hang out, and then she took off. Well, that just goes to show you.
I bet she got a call on the other line or something and was trying to not take it, and then she accidentally took it.
She'll call right now.
Yeah. Or right now.
It is interesting. I wanted to ask her about...
There she is right
here. There she is. Hey, you there?
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I just accidentally hit a button on my phone and hung up.
That's all right. So I wanted to ask you about... What is it going to... So you just got this gig in New York. So you're just moving all your shit to New York right now. What if somebody from L.A. offering you a job on, like, the Jimmy Kimmel Show or something like, you know, something bigger says, I need you to move out to L.A. and take this other job. Would you go back?
I think it's, like, a really crazy thing because when I first got... to New York, I was really disoriented and like, what the hell is happening? Like, I just moved to LA. How do I live in New York now? What's happening? And I came to realize that like so many people on the show have moved back and forth so many times. And so I think it's honestly, it's just part of the game. This one girl, one of the writers, has moved 9 times like
Shit.
In the past few
That's
years.
That's too many times.
Whoa.
She should just
it's
get a place in
many times.
She should get like a couch in a bunch of people's houses. So when you first went
That's
to New York, did they give you a place to stay at least for a few days until you got your shit together?
It was crazy. No, they were just like, good luck, we'll see you soon. And I was like, wait, what?
Wow.
So I stayed in a hotel, and then I stayed at my friend's house, and then I stayed at an Airbnb, and now I finally have my own apartment, and I'm like, thank you, dude, because it was getting stressful.
That's awesome. But-
so, yeah.
Okay, so do they give you any advance money so that you can afford to do all these power moves?
Oh, they do. Good. Okay. So you're not like living on somebody's couch in like Coney Island.
Yeah. Oh my God.
No, I mean, I felt like I was very lucky because I have like for the first time in like years, I had like money saved up from a commercial. So I wasn't even like that worried.
Nice.
But still, like they gave me like a relocation fee and that was really great. And it helped a lot. And so like, I got to be able to, like, I like to, like, come home to, like, a very peaceful place and not, I don't like living with people. So, like, I got to, like, stay alone and, like, live in, like, different places, which was stressful, but also I was, like, by myself. So I got to just come home and, like, be quiet and chill, you know, which was really nice.
Oh, yeah.
So it was fairly smooth. And now I have, like, a nice place in Greenpoint that I'm really excited to, like, finally finish moving into. And so it'll be nice. But, yeah. It was a little bit, it was definitely like literally on Tuesday they called me and they were like, you got the job. And then they were like, see you on Monday. You know what I mean? And I was like, what? Like, they're like, next Monday. I'm like, okay. And so.
It's like you got traded in baseball. They were like, you're playing tomorrow
so
night
I moved
in St. Louis.
On a Saturday. Yeah, I moved there on a Saturday and I was like, all right, here I am. Like, what's up?
Shit.
Yeah, but it's definitely one of those things like, you know, I'll probably go back and forth for jobs. I actually really love LA and like really have loved living here. So I wouldn't mind to go back and forth. And I think that like this show's been an amazing opportunity for me. And then hopefully we'll open up to other opportunities. So yeah, I'll definitely go back and forth. I'm sure.
You got a boyfriend?
No, I do not. That made it easier.
Yeah, good for you.
Fuck boyfriends.
It's kind of funny, actually, because we broke up, like, this is going to make me sound terrible, but we broke up, like 5 months ago, and dudes, I won that breakup.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did, girl.
He's living on the street in, like, Bozeman, Montana.
Fuck that dude.
Once we broke up, I booked 3 jobs in 3 months, and then I got this job. And I was like, I guess that was the right decision for me.
Yeah. Now, if you were still with him, would he be like, would he have been like, oh, I don't want you going? And you would have had to be like, well, now I have to think about this other dude's feelings and all that stuff. Is that how your brain
works? Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been hard. Yeah, it would have been hard because it's like, he's also Canadian, and he was like living here, and so it's like, who knows if he would have wanted to randomly move to New York one day. I mean, you know, so it's like, it would have been a challenge. Like, I know that there's, you know, I have friends on the show that are writers, and one of the correspondents, his girlfriend is still here. And, you know, they all love each other, and that's lovely. But it's a challenge because now they're doing long distance all of a sudden, you know?
So, I mean,
I feel lucky because this bitch is just living alone. Okay, I was just going to ask if it was okay that I keep cussing, but you just said the F word, so I can say whatever.
So this dude, it's been easy. That's good. That's good. So this dude was Canadian. He was Canadian.
Yeah.
Was he also an improviser or an actor?
Yeah, he's an improviser, comedian guy.
Oh,
yeah.
And Canadian?
Oh, my God. Oh. Is he still alive?
I think he is. I don't know.
Yeah. Or is he like, way. Or is so he as like, soon as you broke up, it was like, that's it. I'm never seeing you again.
Well, we haven't really spoken. We might speak again someday. Who knows? But we haven't.
So no. He's busking on the streets of Vancouver.
Yeah.
He actually did go. He's from Toronto. He actually did go back to Toronto for a little bit. But he back. I don't know. He's back in LA. So,
I
wish him the best. But I just, you know, I'm doing my thing too. So it's good. It's just,
so
know,
can we find you on Tinder?
It's good to win.
Can we find you on Tinder in New York?
You know what? You know what's funny is my friend, like before my boyfriend, ex and I even broke up, my friend was like, did you and your boyfriend break up? And I was like, yeah, but like we just broke up. Why? And he was just like, I saw you on Bumble. Somebody made a fake Bumble profile with my picture.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
What is Bumble?
You made it now.
What? Did somebody say what's Bumble?
Yeah.
That's what Andy said.
Whoever just said that, you're lucky. Andy, because you've been in a relationship forever.
Yeah.
Bumble is like Tinder. It's just like another. I think the only difference is the women have to message the men first. That's the difference.
Oh, so that other comedian was telling us where you get like Bumble coins or something and you have to pass. No, that's
the
Jewish.
Yeah,
the Jewish
I don't really know how it works. I'm kind of avoiding. I'm kind of avoiding online dating because it's like the worst, and so.
Yeah,
but all
yeah.
I know is that I have a fake Bumble profile on the internet.
Shit, you're blowing up! You're blowing up! You know it! You made it now.
They taking my likeness. They making profiles out of me. Whatever.
All right, Nicole Thurman, are you ready? Yeah. We're gonna play a game.
Yeah, let's play it.
This game is called Trick. Twick or Tweet.
Yes, Twick or Tweet, the game of tweets and quotes from twits and dopes that always leads to silly jokes.
And today for Twick or Tweet, we have Jonathan Susan Moran.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
We have the leading star of The Opposition with Jordan Klepper, Nicole Thurman. And the star of the game show and stuff, James Anthony Zocchelli, Jazz.
Please, don't use my
government name. I know who you are now with the last name. I didn't know.
That's me.
Okay, so.
I try not to use my government name because I need to.
Yeah.
I need to maintain my plausible
deniability. He doesn't
want
to go back to debtor's prison.
That's right.
Like Robert Morris. Okay, so Jazz, tell us how to play Twick or Tweet.
All right, here's how to play Twick or Tweet. We collected some crazy tweets. And now it's our job to figure out who tweeted them using logic, reasoning, and other methodologies you won't find on social media. And it's that simple and it's that fun. And that's how you play. Everyone say it with me.
Twick or tweet.
Excellent. The 1 second delay for Nicole is really helping her.
It's awesome.
They're lining up everything. Okay, so here we go. We're going to get started with our first tweet. And I'll give you some multiple choice options so you guys can guess who said it. Now, all these tweets are from today. So please keep that in mind as we go forward.
All right. Good to know.
Our first tweet is, Oh, wow, I am overwhelmed with all the birthday messages. Love and many thanks to you all.
Ooh.
Now, was that Seth Rogen, Ben Vereen, or LeVar Burton?
Interesting.
They all look
man.
The same. They all have.
Yeah.
They all have great laughs.
I feel like it's Ben Vereen.
Okay, that's Ben Vereen for Nicole. Jazz?
I have to say I have an unfair advantage in this game because of the birthday hint and because I compose the birthday shout-outs for
Son
our
of
show.
A motherfucker.
So I know for a fact that it is actually Ben Vereen's birthday, a.k.a. Webster's Uncle Philip. So I got to say that it's Ben Vereen.
And Fresh Prince's dad,
That's
Joe.
Right. That's right. His bad dad, Joe.
And Johnny Mo, who's your guess?
I guess it's going to be Ben Vereen then.
Okay, that's a point for everybody.
Yay!
Great job, great job. Everybody did great.
Nice.
Okay, here's our next tweet. Jesus, somebody put a black light over Hollywood to find out if there's anywhere Harvey Weinstein didn't jerk off.
Jesus.
A lot of Harvey Weinstein talk today, Nicole.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I bet.
And where's your character coming down on Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, God, that's a tough one. I haven't thought about this one. She probably...
Went to dinner with him.
I think she thinks he's nasty. No, she'd think he's nasty, and she would compare him to, like, one of her exes. She'd find a way to circle it back to her, but she'd be like, he's nasty, that's, like, my ex, da-da-da-da-da. You know, my ex was such a piece of garbage. I would never date a guy like that, and you shouldn't do a movie with a guy like that. So, yeah, she wouldn't like him.
Okay, all right, good deal. Okay, so now, who said that tweet? Was it Daniel Tosh, Billy Eichner, or Norm MacDonald?
Wow.
Oh, shit. That's actually a hard one. What, you said Daniel Tosh. Who was the other? Billy Eichner? No.
Norm MacDonald.
I think I'm going to say Daniel Tosh, but I think it's probably Norm MacDonald.
Okay.
But I'm going to say Daniel Tosh.
Daniel Tosh for Nicole. Johnny?
I'm going to say Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner for Johnny. And Jazz?
Well, I'm going to go with Norm MacDonald then, just to be different, damn it.
All right, let's lock them all in. That's Nicole with Tosh, Moran with Eichner, and Zocalee with MacDonald. And lock it in, Jazz.
Yes.
The answer is Daniel Tosh. 2 points for Nicole. Nicole takes a commanding lead 2-1 over the rest of the dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's the frat boy talk that gave it away for me. He's a frat boy. Tosh.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. He is a frat boy.
He's a gender fluid frat boy,
yeah.
I think.
he's sort of
an androgynous. He looks like he will make fun of you and then blow you.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He would love to hear that. He would take that as a compliment.
Yeah,
Anderson,
I'm sure he
would.
He's like fancy Steve-O.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
Exactly.
All right. Our next tweet is actually a posted quiz. So, you know, on Facebook where people post quizzes and they're like, it says, like, you are Gargamel of the Smurfs, or like, or like, you are Lion-O of the Thundercats, or whatever.
Sure.
Like, you take a quiz and it tells you which one you are.
Uh-huh.
So, this one is a quiz to see which Avengers you are.
Okay.
And it's
the
answer is you are Chris Evans. And the tweet says, dude, I suck at quizzes.
That's the tweet?
Yeah, so who made this tweet and posted this quiz that they took?
I'm going to guess it's Chris Evans.
Was
before
it?
You even say
That's
anything.
That's what I was going to guess,
was
too.
It?
That was my guess, too.
Robert Downey Jr., Jeremy Renner, Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, or Chris Evans?
Oh, man, he gave us like five options.
I think it was Chris Evans.
Chris Evans for Nicole. Lock it in.
Okay. I'll lock it in.
Lock it in, Nicole.
It's locked.
I locked it.
Stop yelling.
I'm afraid to lock it in.
All right, who's next?
I don't want to commit.
I thought it was maybe Robert Downey Jr., but I doubt he spends a lot of fucking time online. He just
taking quizzes.
No, he doesn't give a shit about that stuff. I think he usually avoids that kind of stuff. Chris Pratt, we know, has tweeted in the past, and he's actually a funny guy on Twitter. I don't think Jeremy Renner spends a lot of time on Twitter either. I think, again, he's one of those guys who's actually a serious fucking actor.
Like, and he's also one of those guys that'll, like, fix your plumbing.
Right.
Doesn't Jeremy Renner seem like he'd show up and, like, you need a plumber? Me and my buds will fix your toilet.
We're from Boston.
Yeah. So, anyway.
I'm gonna go ahead and say Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt for Johnny.
Oh, I think
Jazz?
Again, to be different, I'll choose another option, but I thought Chris Pratt was the one, too. But I'm going to say Robert Downey Jr., just to be totally the opposition to Johnny Moe.
RDJ,
yeah,
Jazz. Jazz is the opposition with Jordan Klepper.
For this one.
Y'all watch it 11:30 on Comic Central.
You know we will.
Nicole, I've seen a bunch of clips from it, and it is there is some very funny stuff. I've seen Laura Gray do a bit. I've seen the two... The two gay gentlemen do their thing, which is pretty fun as well.
Yeah, they're great. I love them.
It's
good. People are going to like it, I think. It's a good show.
Cool.
Right.
I'm excited to see it. I've been DVRing it, but I haven't watched it yet.
I need more shows to watch. So,
all right.
Yeah.
So what's your...
We'll come back next week.
Okay. So we have RDJ for Jazz,
for
Robert Downey Jr. For Johnny Moe, we have Chris Pratt.
Yep.
And for Nicole, we have Chris Evans. Mm-hmm. And the answer is Chris Pratt.
Hey!
So that means the game's tied 2-2. Nicole and Johnny are tied for the lead with just two left. Just two left.
Oh, boy.
So, Jazz, this is a big one for you. All right, here's the tweet. Ben Affleck, fuck off. Who would write Ben Affleck, fuck off?
His ex-wife.
Yeah. Is it Winona Ryder, Rose McGowan, Reese Witherspoon, or Jennifer Garner?
Wow.
I'm going to say Rose McGowan, but I don't know if she said those words, but she pretty much did tell him to fuck off. So I'm going to say Rose McGowan.
Rose All McGowan. Right.
Good idea.
For Nicole. Yeah.
Good call.
Johnny?
You guys ever seen that interview where he looks really sad?
No.
They call it, it's like sad Affleck or like sad Batman. Oh, my God. Because somebody was saying, like, this reporter was, like, talking badly about the movie, and he was just looking off into the distance, like, so sad.
Oh, I have seen that. I have seen that. Yeah, I was like, don't say shit bad to Ben Affleck on his fucking junket that you just got invited to, and you're fucking stealing bagels and shit waiting to talk to Ben Affleck. And then you get in there, and you're like, your movie was sloppily made, and it had pacing problems. And Ben Affleck's just, like, looking right out the window.
How did this come to be?
Yeah. Anyway, why?
Ahead.
How is this person talking to me?
On Last Week Tonight, this week, they mentioned Affleck's time on Finding Your Roots, and they and Dr. Gates discovered that his ancestors had owned slaves, and I guess at a certain point, he managed to get that.
He tried to pay somebody to take it out.
Basically just to take it out of that. He took it out
of
the episode.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
So that's kind of crazy.
Heavy duty. Well, he could fuck off.
He could be more like Tom Cruise. If you're going to be that famous, you need to cover up everything.
That's right.
You cannot have any of this shit getting out.
Exactly.
Anyway,
exactly.
Johnny.
Get rid of your kids and everything.
Yeah.
Yep. let's see. You know what? I'm going to go with Rose McGowan, too, because I know that she has been a vocal opponent.
Opposition
with
Jordan Klepper
to
Ben Affleck.
To all the stuff that's happening, being revealed now. So, yeah, I'm going to say Rose McGowan.
Rose McGowan.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pick a different one just to be different, and I'm going to say Jennifer Garner just because I think it would be incredibly appropriate and hilarious. Yes, please.
Yeah.
All right, so we got two McGowans and a Garner.
That's right.
And lock it in, Jazz.
It's locked in, Anderson.
Ben and Affleck, fuck off. Rose McGowan, everybody. So the score stays tied with Johnny Moe and Nicole Thurman from the opposition with Jordan Klepper.
Yeah.
Jazz, you are so far behind, there's no way you can win.
I should just stop playing.
No, but you could still spoil it for everyone. You make this very not fun for everybody
right
now if you wanted to. Yeah.
That's my job.
I think he's trying to throw the game to be nice to me.
Oh, no.
That or you just suck, bro.
Fuck you, Jazz.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Fuck you from New York.
All right, here's your last tweet. Is everybody ready?
Yep. Ready.
Yes.
Why is the NFL getting massive tax breaks while at the same time disrespecting our anthem, flag, and country? Change tax law now. Is that Mike Pence?
Somebody in government.
Yeah, it does.
Mike Pence, Donald Trump, Steve Bannon, or Terry Crews?
I'm not Terry Crews.
No.
It's, shucks. Toughy.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to guess it's Steve Bannon, I guess.
Bannon.
I don't know. Shit.
Bannon locking in for Nicole Thurman.
All right.
Johnny?
Mm-hmm. Based on the language, I'm going to say that it's Donald Trump.
Trump for Johnny and Jazz?
Wow. Yeah, see, I wanted to say Trumpito too, man, but I'm going to opt for Mike Pence.
Pence for Jazz.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to say that my new nickname for 45 is Trumpster Fire.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
That's
Trumpster
Fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Really
like
good.
That.
He's
like
a he's a real Trumpster Fire. Don't steal that. We better not hear Jordan Klepper on the opposition side. Trumpster Fire.
I'm gonna use it.
We already trademarked it.
Don't look it up.
Don't look it up.
Okay.
I'm gonna sit in a meeting. Y'all are going down.
Dang.
So we have Nicole with Bannon, Moran with Trump, and Jazz with Mike Pence.
Yep.
And the answer is, for the win, Jazz, the answer is Donald Trump. That means Johnny Mo is our champion.
Good for him. Okay, I'll be a good sport. Good for you, Johnny Mo.
Good
Thank
for you,
Mo. Dick.
That's very nice of you.
I do love that Donald Trump is the president of the United States, and he writes, change tax law, exclamation point.
Right.
You change the fucking tax law!
Right. That's why I was like, there's no way that's because he would just freaking be able to do it. He's an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
We're all going to die.
We are.
Just sooner than we expected.
Yeah. And you know what the problem is with this slow death from, like, an oppressive government? Is you don't even look, you don't even feel good when you die. Like, like if somebody, so say, for example, like, Barack Obama was just inaugurated, right? And everybody's walking around feeling so good about how the country changed and, you know, we're all moving, taking a big step forward. And then an asteroid hit the Earth.
Right.
We would all leave the Earth with our shoulders back and feeling happy about ourselves. But now we all look like about 20 pounds heavier. We're all fucking pasty.
20 years
It's
older.
Always raining. It's we all look fucking old. And so when we die, no one's going to leave a good-looking corpse. We're all going to look like assholes.
Yep.
We're all going to look like a bunch of fuck buttholes when we die.
That's right. It's the truth.
So true.
Yeah.
So
well,
sad.
Well, we congratulate you on your success and wish you well in helping alleviate some of the woes of the world with comedy and satire.
Thank you, Nicole. It was so awesome. Hey, good luck on the show.
Yeah.
We'll tweet about you every day for the next three years.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. All right. Take care.
Good.
Thanks
All
so
right.
much.
Okay. You too. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Have a good night.
Bye.
It's Nicole Thurman from The Opposition with Nicole Thurman.
That was awesome.
Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, all we have to do is the news.
All right.
Sound good?
Well, why don't we just do the end of the show now, and then we'll come back and insert the news.
What do you mean? No, let's just do the news at the end today.
I mean... No, because we never do it that way. We'll go back and do the break like we didn't pause, and then we'll do the end.
Okay, all right, sounds good.
Do you want to do the end right now?
Sure. Whatever. All right, Jazz, good to see
you. Hey, great to see you too, Anderson.
Don't die out there.
I'll try not to. It's going to be hard, though.
Johnny?
Can I get a ride home?
Absolutely not. And we'd like to thank Nicole Thurman
yes!
from The Opposition with Jordan Klepper for coming on the show every weeknight at 10:30 Central on Comedy Central. That's 11:30 Eastern or 9:30 West Coast time.
Good job.
Pacific.
Way to go with the
Pacific.
Math. Way to go with the math, Anderson.
Thank you so much.
I'm impressed.
And everyone, we
will
see
you next Tuesday.
Let's get rambling.
That's it. It's over. Show's over.
Let me get my shoes. What the f*** happened to my shoes?
Okay, show's over.